Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
Oh, what's up, everybody? Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio back on the air live right here tonight from the one, the only, the Jersey Shore. It is Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. We've been kicking ass on the air here for over a year now, and tonight is episode number 56, the best of TNA Bound for Glory. I'm your host, Jersey Strong, Jay Oletto, and before we get things on the road tonight, before we get things moving, I just have a couple things to say. First of all, I want to apologize to Colt Cabana. I made a big mistake today. I was listening to Steve Austin's show. And if you don't listen to it, you damn well should, because it's the best wrestling podcast on the planet, besides Colt's himself, probably. But Colt was on the Steve Austin show, and I misinterpreted the conversation they had about Colt going back to WWE. He did, in fact, say he was going down to Orlando, but he was going down to Orlando for another tryout. It will be his third tryout. So me, being excited for one of my favorite wrestlers, which Colt Cabana is, I went on Twitter and started talking about to people how Colt got signed by WWE and he's going to NXT and this is great and all this stuff. So just a few, not even an hour later, maybe an hour and a half later, as I was talking to people, I got a direct message from Colt saying, "You're an idiot." So I didn't understand why I was an idiot, but he tweeted that he was not going back to WWE. I asked him if I heard it wrong. He said I did, in fact, hear it wrong, and he has another tryout with the company. So basically, I'd just like to say I'm sorry to Colt Cabana. I respect him. I see him at indie shows. I just saw him over the weekend in Brooklyn at FWE. That's Family Wrestling Entertainment. And I always say what's up. I always say hi. I always shake his hand. He's a nice guy. You know, and although he doesn't want to do an interview with us, that's fine. Although it doesn't bother me at all. But I'd just like to give a public apology to Mr. Colt Cabana. And as always, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is sponsored by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. At this time, we are offering advertising on the site. If you have a wrestling website, any kind of website for that matter, a radio show, a podcast, we have affordable advertising for you. Please go over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a button that says Advertise. Click there. You can see our packages. They're affordable. They're pretty awesome. And I am willing to negotiate. So if you got anything, if you want to barter, you know, do something fun, maybe like give me a couple, DVDs or something for some advertising, I'll do it. I'm down with that. I like to barter. So ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is what this show is all about. Follow me on Twitter at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse. Visit our Amazon store where you can purchase anything with the holidays coming up around the corner. Get your best deals over at Amazon. You can go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. At the top of the page, you will see a button that says PWP Store. Go there, click on the Amazon link, and that will take you to our affiliate site. It gives a little kickback to the show, folks, and I know, you know, big shots like Austin and these other podcasters ask you to do that as well, but we're the little guy. We need to keep this show as affordable as possible. Blog Talk Radio has, you know, not really the most affordable plan, so we're trying to do the best that we can to keep the show on the air for you, people that enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, feel free to let me know you enjoy it, because I don't know who listens, so if you listen to the show, you like it, I'm very accessible, you can find me on Facebook, Jay Leno. Find me on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. So enough with the crap. I'd like to bring in my co-host for the evening. He was the host last week, and he did a damn good job. I got to say, I'm a little bit sick. I might cough from time to time this week on the show because last week I was very sick. I had what you call walking pneumonia. So, excuse me, there it is. There's a cough on command. So I wasn't feeling too good. So, let's bring in the host of last week and my co-host tonight, and I'm looking for his theme music, but I can't seem to find it. Oh yeah, here he is. How about Toph?
Hey,
What's going on, Toph?
That's a really catchy theme. Very catchy.
Yeah, I like it. I like it for sure. What's going on, man? How's it going?
I had a really tiring day, but I'm doing fine now. Nothing like some apple juice to give you some energy.
Oh, God, I love apple juice, man. All natural. All natural. Love apple juice. We're only going an hour tonight, Toph. I originally scheduled 2 hours, but considering I'm not feeling 100%, and, you know, sometimes 2 hours is just a little too long. So we're just going to go an hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the best of TNA Bound for Glory. And I know you're a diehard TNA fan, so I'm sure you have a lot of moments from that show in years past that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, actually. So got everything written down, prepared, everything. I'm ready to go this week.
Beautiful. So, you know, I told Blog Talk Radio, listen, you should feature the show on the website. This is going to be a great, informative TNA Bound for Glory show with Bound for Glory 2013. What is it? This Sunday or is it the following? It's this Sunday, right, Toph?
Yes, it's this Sunday, and there will be a pre-show, and there'll be the Hall of Fame induction with Kurt Angle and all that good stuff. And the pre-show will be coming on Spike TV. I believe it'll be an hour pre-show, and they'll have the Gauntlet Tag Team match. And other than that, it will be Mike Tenay and Taz, more than likely just hyping up the show and just talking about the matches and stuff. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing to do. It's kind of reminds you of what WWE used to do with Sunday Night Heat back in the day. And what they're doing now, they're bringing it back with the pre-shows before pay-per-views. I think they're necessary. I think it's a great move to actually do that. And they have a match on the show that you know, matters for Bound for Glory on the pre-show. There's going to be a tag team title match, so the number one contenders are going to be crowned in the pre-show, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. So it'll be Chavo and Hernandez versus Bad Influence versus Joseph Park and Eric Young versus the Bromans, and for those that don't know, that's Robbie E. and Jesse.
Yeah, and you know what, man? I got to say, I sometimes am tough on TNA wrestling, and for good reason. I mean, you know, they do a lot of things you can be tough on them for, but the card looks good this coming Sunday. Bound for Glory looks like it's a pretty damn good show from top to bottom, so I'm pretty excited for it.
I actually think they have good tag teams. The problem with TNA's tag teams is, like, out of those four teams I just named, three of them are comic relief. Not that that's a bad thing, you know, because comedy's great for tag team, but there needs to be, like, you know, a spectrum of seriousness, you know? So, you know, I mean, but yeah, I mean, their tag teams are just fine as well. They just don't have as much time to display. And yeah, it is a solid card. Less is more. I've always been a fan of smaller pay-per-view cards because that give your matches more time. That's more backstage segments, or maybe not segments, but more interviews and vignettes to build up the matches and more post-match events too. But I'm sure they might add you know, one more match, you know, to filter in. And I see them adding Kenny King as well, just because just seems to be kind of awkward to leave him out of the Ultimate X when this all kind of started from a promo with Aries and King to begin with. So
yeah,
it looks
definitely
like a solid.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I always like those matches where it's a veteran against a young guy and there's kind of respect on the line, so I'm really looking forward to Magnus versus Sting. I think that's going to be underrated from a lot of people. I think that'll be a really good match. You know, Magnus should probably go over, get the win over Sting, but, you know, it should be awesome. It should be a good card. I'm actually looking forward to it. Before we get to that, though, I'm going to bring in my co-host, TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion.
Will, what's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for the wonderful intro. Here's TLD. I cut my song a lot shorter than normal, so yes, I'm overly excited. Thank you.
Well, I want to get the show on the road, but first, before we do that, I want to say congratulations. TLD is now engaged. God bless your fiance for putting up with you for the rest of eternity.
Well, I appreciate that, Jay. And yes, for all the men who want to be me, you can't be with me. I am now officially taken up. Can't wait. It's a great time. I actually posted it on our Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group page of the engagement, which was pretty emotional and pretty fun. So I appreciate that, Jay. And can't wait to be married. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm happy for you guys. I'm really excited for you. Tower's really nice. And yeah, I'm really pumped up. And we had a good time the other night at FWE. That was a hell of a show. And well, let's talk about that a little bit before we get into TNA Bound for Glory, the best of. How'd you like FWE the other night, Will?
I thought SWE did. I thought the matches overall. I mean, it was a lot of the mid card level talent, and it's like the top of the line of the mid card talent. And it was just a great show overall. An amazing three-way tag match. It was pretty awesome to watch that. I thought seeing Matt Morgan in person for the first time, that dude is huge. And Jay, he tore you a big one. You tried to get a big high five, and he wouldn't give you anything of it. I would say if there was a little bit more storyline to what this tournament is about, I think I would have a better understanding of what it is. I like that they're doing it in succession over a couple months. It's a good build. I just don't know what it's leading to. That's the only thing they really did not explain. So I would say for a storyline perspective, I really don't know what they're doing with the tournament, but I thought the matches overall were great. And seeing Petey Williams do that Canadian Destroyer in person twice was pretty remarkable. That's a move I could never probably ever take, but God bless those who take it. It seems like a move that will kill somebody, and it's done so well.
Yeah, absolutely, and he did it to John Morrison to end the show, and it was kind of surprising. Nobody really saw that coming, but you got to agree with me that the Young Bucks, they stole the show, man. They were were phenomenal. They just put on tag team excellence. It was a high spot match. Don't get me wrong. It was just there wasn't much psychology until really the end, but they put on a hell of a performance.
Well,
what do you think about the Young Bucks?
One of the things I liked about the match, there was a lot of great tagging in the match. I thought that was another great moment where, even though the high spots were awesome, I thought the tag way of doing it, the Young Bucks did a very good job cornering their opponents for most of the match, and I like the way that the tag team champions, Express, I forget, is that their name?
Adrenaline Express, yeah.
Adrenaline Express, I like the way that they won that match. We didn't know it was an elimination match. That was the only thing. Again, it was just like those little things that were just not addressed beforehand. So it makes it a little bit tough to figure out if the pinfall from the Young Bucks was good enough, but it wasn't, and it was a good heel move to roll them up for the win very quickly. So overall, I thought the show was great. Jeff Jarrett breaking a guitar. Never saw Jeff Jarrett in person break a guitar before. That was kind of cool to see that. So a lot of great moments, and we had our interviews this week. They will be up to see what we interviewed the fans and what they thought of FWE. Overall, I thought it was a really fun show. My first time being in Brooklyn in a long time, especially seeing a wrestling show. So I think it was overall fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got to interview Ted DiBiase. That was cool. You got to interview a bunch of fans. John got to interview Trent Beretta, and he was hilarious. He was so nervous interviewing Trent and Bandito Jr. That was funny as hell. But, yeah, it was overall a good show. But you were right. You brought up the points about the details that they had with the show that were kind of a little off. A lot of stuff wasn't really clear to the audience. They didn't ring the bell, like half the matches. They didn't ring the ring bell. They seemed to have a lack of staff at ringside. You know, AJ Penn, who helps with the promoting, and he's an agent, he does the ring announcing. He was really kind of like multitasking to like the 10th degree. He kept running backstage during every match, coming back out. You know, so they needed a little bit better of a setup to run the show. I know for damn sure if I was the promoter, I don't blame him. Jordan Schneider, who's the promoter of FWE, the owner, he was doing commentary sitting next to the gorgeous, lovely Maryse Ouellette. And I got to say, she was phenomenal looking in person, just absolutely gorgeous, maybe the hottest chick I've ever seen in real life, in person. Like, she's smoking hot. And instead of him being backstage running the show, he's sitting next to her the whole time.
Well, could you blame him? I mean,
no, not absolutely not.
Freaking gorgeous, man. I mean, he, and our buddy Rhett Titus, man, he got a little smack from Maryse.
Yeah, man, Rhett was cool, bro. We drove up with Rhett Titus, and it was great having him and talking to him about wrestling and stuff. Some great stories on the way up, on the way down. It was a great show overall. You know, Homicide was there. Homicide was just hanging out. He wasn't booked, but he was just chilling. You know, we saw Kevin Matthews and Pat Buck there too. So yeah, FWE was great. Look for the video this week on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV on YouTube, and maybe we'll hit the next show as well. So let's get into the topic at hand tonight, though, and that is TNA Bound for Glory, the best of TNA Bound for Glory. And I know Toph said he's got a list, and I also have a lot of moments from our fans on Facebook and on Twitter, who who were able to submit their favorite Bound for Glory memories and moments. So I thank everybody who did that, and we'll talk about those tonight as well. But, Toph, kick it off. What's one of your favorite moments or memories from Bound for Glory?
Well, that's very good. Memory by year, is it, should I just, you know, go year by year or just pick out some of my favorites? I mean, what do you prefer?
Throw out a random one, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Okay, well, first I just want to talk about the very first Bound for Glory. One of my favorite matches ever, this is one of the matches that got me into TNA, was the 30-man Ironman match between AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels at the very first Bound for Glory. It was for the X Division Championship, and it was just a great, outstanding match. Funny story, I found TNA by accident. I was taking a history class, I believe it was social economics or something, and I watched a funny movie called Head of State by Chris Rock about a black guy running for president, which at the time was just a hilarious thought. Of course, now we're living it. And there's a spot in the movie where Chris Rock, his character, is campaigning across the country. And there's a particular part in the movie where he's in Tennessee and he's in a wrestling ring and he gets jumped by Jeff Jarrett and a bunch of other wrestlers. And when I saw that as a kid, I was like, wow, what is that? And I noticed the words NWA TNA in the background. And so I went home, got on the computer, Googled NWA TNA, and that's how I found TNA. And that's also how I found out about the IWC and all the forums and the dirt sheets. And this was like sometime around like 2004, 2005. So I was like a junior into high school, and that's pretty much how I got introduced to the internet. But it was a great show. It was the first show. It was unexpected, and you know, it was just an all-around cool show. But yeah, that's definitely my favorite Bound for Glory moment. There, nothing's been topped.
Yeah, I've seen that match before, but I've never seen that whole card, the first Bound for Glory. I don't think I have anyway. If I did, I don't really remember it too well. But I do remember that match. I believe it's on, you know, either the X Division DVD I have, or the Best of AJ Styles DVD I have, one or the other. But I know I've seen it, and it was absolutely fantastic. Back then, you know, I've seen a lot of that stuff from the early years of TNA, when it was AJ versus Daniels, or Daniels versus Joe, or AJ versus Joe, and that mix of matches they had. And for some reason, they all kind of just get, like, confusing to me, because there were so many great ones back then that I can't really remember which one was which and when it was and everything like that. But, yeah,
it was different. It was different. The first, if you go back and look at the first Bound for Glory, it's all over the place, but in a good way. There was something for everybody. Like, I'll just go through some of the card. There was AJ and Daniels in the 30-minute Ironman. There was Jeff Hardy, Sabu, and Abyss and the Monsters Ball. So that was there for the hardcore extremists. You know, you had Chris Sabin, Matt Bentley, and Petey Williams. And I think it was like the very first Ultimate X match to become number one contender, so that was different. That hadn't been seen before. There was a cool pre-show with Sanjay Dutt, Alex Shelley, Austin Aries, Roderick Strong. So, you know, that was a cool match. You had Samoa Joe. He just jumped ship to TNA at the time. He fought Jushin Liger. So it was a cool match. It was all over the place. There was something for everybody on the card. The only thing that wasn't there was the knockouts, because that didn't exist yet. So...
Oh, yeah, you know what's funny is I have this. I just, like, was looking it up, and I have this DVD, the first annual Bound for Glory, and I remember watching it, and I really enjoyed it. I did enjoy it big time. There was a shock value at the end with Rhino winning the NWA Championship from Jeff Jarrett and everything. So, yeah, definitely a memorable card. TLD, man, you still in line with us or what?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. TLD, man, some of your favorite, give us a favorite memory or moment from TNA Bound for Glory years past.
Well, I went to the Bound for Glory in Philadelphia, and to see Sting versus Hulk Hogan, which is something I never thought I'd see. I've never seen Sting in live before. And for me, as a wrestling fan, to finally see Sting in person, he doesn't come up here enough to really see him. That was pretty cool. And Hogan, that match, even though we knew the limitations of Hogan at the time, he took some bumps. They were fighting outside the ring. It was overall a really great match. And then Hogan turning back into Good Hulk Hogan, that was a really cool moment for me. I thought that was a top moment. I would always remember going to a wrestling show and seeing Sting versus Hulk Hogan. How can you not be excited for it, no matter how old they are? It's still, they were able to captivate me in that storyline. So for me, that was a big one. But another one that I remember watching was Jeff Hardy's Swanton Bomb, I believe off the entire stage onto Abyss. That was also one of a big moment, I believe, as well. I forgot how high he was, but it looked like the one from WrestleMania 20. It looked like it was that high. So that was pretty remarkable to see, too.
Yeah, man. Great moments, great memories right there. I'll never forget in 2000, I want to say it was Bound for Glory 2006, when the Latin American Exchange, Homicide and Hernandez, defeated AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels in a six-sided steel match for the tag team titles, NWA tag team titles at the time. And, man, I was a big fan. I still am a big fan of Homicide. I think he's awesome. I love the thing they did with LAX. It was a really good dynamic between Hernandez and Homicide. They both kind of looked the same in the face, but Puerto Rican, you know, fucking Homicide's Puerto Rican, Hernandez Mexican. And they just had a great style clash with AJ Styles, no pun intended, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. It was a fantastic match, one of my favorites. But we could even go back to last year's Bound for Glory, which a lot of people weren't really big fans of. But I remember watching it, actually, the first night I watched it in its entirety. It's not when it happened, but the night Hurricane Sandy was going down here at the Jersey Shore, I had this on my computer, and I decided to just give it a go, just finally watch the show and everything. And the James Storm Bobby Roode match was a bloodbath, pretty solid stuff. Aces and Eights had their big win to gain, like, access to the Impact Zone. But, like, everybody, and this is the one I watched live, was Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries. And that was a match that was getting built up big time. Big time. A lot of people thought Jeff Hardy was going to win because he's the big star and everything, and that's exactly what happened. But Austin Aries had a hell of a transitional run as TNA champion, and it's helped him out in the long run because here we are a year later, and he's not in the TNA title picture, but he's as over as he's ever been. The only problem with Aries is he keeps kind of going back and forth from babyface to heel, sometimes in the tweener role, whatever. So Aries is definitely better off after that TNA world title run, and that's what you want for a wrestler. If they get that world title run, you want them to be better off after the fact. Some of our fans on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group page have some great moments and memories from Bound for Glory. And here's a couple from Philip Evans, who's a fan of ours, nice guy. And, excuse me, there's that cough. He really enjoyed when Gail Kim became the first ever Knockouts champion. He also liked the steel cage match, the tag team titles between Styles Daniels and LAX. Rhino winning the title, like we just mentioned. And at the first Bound for Glory as well, Joe versus Liger, a match that was probably a dream match in a lot of people's, I guess, top matches of all time. But, Toph, give us another one.
Oh, well, I was just going to – I had short notes from every single Bound for Glory. It just wasn't going to take too long.
Good.
I thought it couldn't be – okay. Well, we already went over 2005. 2006 I thought was a really great card. It was stacked from top to bottom. You can make an argument it was probably the best Bound for Glory. You already mentioned the tag team championship match for the NWA titles between AJ Styles, Daniels, and LAX. That was a great feud. Christian Cage and Rhino had a very underrated 8-mile street fight. You had Sting against Jeff Jarrett, title versus career. That was when Kurt Angle had jumped ship, and he had just joined TNA. You know, he had the huge pop. I always remember when Jarrett, when he hit Sting with the guitar, and Sting just no-sold it and just put Jarrett in a Scorpion Deathlock. It was just a great crowd, marked out. Chris Sabin also had a very great classic with Senshi, a.k.a. Loki, a.k.a. Kaval, so many names for the X Division title. That was a great match. 2006 was a very solid card. 2007 was also good. As you said earlier, Gail Kim won the very first Knockouts championship there. What happened this year? I think that was the year where Angle fought Jarrett. I believe he fought Jarrett there.
What year was that, 2008? Uh-oh. All right, it looks like Toph has dropped out for some reason. As always, Block Talk Radio is having technical difficulties tonight with apparently audio file. It's coming up on the screen, audio file processing. Sorry to anybody who's listening to our best of Bound for Glory show. But, technical difficulties, as usual, here on Block Talk Radio. We're just going to keep on going with our best of TNA Bound for Glory, and I'm going to read off some more fan comments. And this one is from Alex Volpe, who is a fan of the show. And on Facebook, he said, "You know what I think is great about Bound for Glory? It lives up to being TNA's best show of the year almost every time. Even 2010. Besides the finish to the main event, it was overall a really good show." And I got to agree, man. You talk about Bound for Glory 2010, and you just have some great matches up and down the card. You had that three-way match with when they were revealed, which was a really, really big angle at the time. Not many people really saw that coming with everybody just turning heel. Jeff Hardy turning heel, Hulk Hogan pretty much turning heel and everything. It just came out of nowhere. They also had, like, the hardcore little group they had. It was called TV 2.0, and they were tearing it up at the time. It was, it was a good show. So thanks, Alex, for that statement. Toph, man, back on the air. Sorry about that. You just dropped out for some reason. We're having issues tonight on Blog Talk Radio. So continue going on with what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, can hear me good, right?
Yeah, you're here. You're on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was saying 2007, that was the year where Gil Kim won the first Knockouts title, as you said, in the Gauntlet match. The main event that year was Sting and Kurt Angle in a very good match as well. 2007 was, it was okay. It was all around. I'm still on, right? Just checking?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good, man.
All right. Sorry, being paranoid. Oh, here we are. Now, 2008. 2008 was the one I really didn't. I wasn't really feeling 2008 too much. That was the one where Samoa Joe lost to Sting. I'm still kind of bitter about that. I didn't feel that was the right time. I thought Joe was still hot, and the undercard just wasn't. I didn't care too much for 2008. I considered that to be the weakest of the Bound for Glories, but Sting did beat Joe that year, and they were in Chicago. The crowd was hot. I just personally didn't care for 2008. 2009 was a good year. That was when Sting fought AJ Styles for the title. And going in, we all thought Sting was going to retire, but that wasn't the case. I believe Matt Morgan had a very good match with Kurt Angle that year. And, Morgan kind of opened a few people's eyes that year, but, you know, it didn't really – that was kind of like when Shawn Michaels had the good match with Shelton Benjamin. It's like, okay, Shelton can go, but – they didn't really push him. I mean, Morgan showed he could work in that match, but they didn't do anything with him. I believe that was also the year when Chris Daniels almost killed himself in that crazy Ultimate X spot where he nearly fell on his head. Ugh. I still get cringes looking at that. 2010 had one of the best openers ever in Bound for Glory history. That was the Motor City Machine Guns against Generation Me, a.k.a. the Young Bucks, and that crazy tag team opener. That match was just amazing. I still watch that match all the time. RVD had a great Monsters Ball match with Abyss. That was when Day was revealed. Jeff Hardy, Mr. Anderson, Kurt Angle had a good triple threat at the end of the show. Although it's mostly remembered for that, you know, heel turn at the end that most people didn't like. But it was a good match. 2011, another good opener with Aries and Brian Kendrick for the X Division title. You had RVD against Jerry Lynn, another good match. My beef with 2011 was they did everything they could to push Rude. And, you know, Hogan, he's come out before many times, and he felt the reason why they turned Rude heel was they felt, well, he felt personally as a babyface, he felt that Rude had nowhere to go, and he felt that it made more sense for him to turn heel. What I disliked the most about 2011 was I feel like Hogan and Sting undermined the title because that match went on. The match itself wasn't very long. It was only about 9 minutes, but the post-match had, you know, Immortal jumping Hogan and, you know, oh, no, the Immortal jumped Sting. And then Hogan turned face and, you know, he ripped off the shirt and the fans popped. And it was a great feel-good moment, but it really took the focus off of Rude. And then he lost to Angle, which didn't make sense because Angle was injured. And then Storm beat him the following Impact. And then Rude turned heel later. I really wasn't a fan of that finish, but, you know, it was a great feel-good moment. So whatever. You were mentioning 2012. I thought 2012 was a solid card. You had RVD against Emma Ion in a good X Division match. You had Samoa Joe against Magnus in a great mid-card match for the TV title. You had James Storm and Rude in a great street fight. You had Al Snow and Joey Ryan for a great nostalgia pop. And they were trying to get Joey Ryan over, though it didn't work out that well. You had the tag team title match with Chavo Hernandez, the world's tag team champions of the world, a.k.a. Bad Influence, AJ and Kurt Angle. You had Tara and Miss Tossmacher, although the match wasn't that good. They'd been telling the story of them being best friends for over a year. You had the Devon heel turn of the Aces and Eights, which nobody saw coming. And you had a solid match with Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries. I thought 2012 was a solid card. Probably the most
I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it that night. Hurricane Sandy was going down. I really enjoyed that Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries match, and, of course, James Storm and Bobby Roode. But I want to go back to 2011, and I want to bring Will in and ask him about that show a little bit, because he was there. He was there live. And TLD, man, tell us a little bit about that Hulk Hogan versus Sting match and the kind of response, and then talk to us about Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, because there was a lot of speculation leading into that match, because Hulk Hogan was doing media appearances and interviews, and he kind of talked about how he didn't think Bobby Roode was the guy yet, but really loved James Storm, and it turned out that what he had said in interviews was exactly what happened.
Yeah, I do. I remember a lot of fans were talking about that while we were waiting. We were actually interviewing a lot of fans outside when I was part of the Wrestling Roundtable. We interviewed a lot of people for that show, and that was a lot of responses. A lot of people felt that Roode should have won, and man, you know, to go back to Hogan's thing for right now, you know, a lot of people felt that match was going to be really bad based on Hogan admitting that he can't take a bump or he wasn't going to take a bump for that match, you know, and he took a couple bumps in that match, more than I thought he would do, and it was all hardcore match, and the story was built up great. Sting's new Joker gimmick was catching on. I really liked it. It was a lot different than what he's been doing. And it was overall really fun, and you know, you saw it happening in that match where the fans were really into it. They were really liking it, and Hogan laid down for Sting. Sting won, and then a big turn, but the crowd was just absolutely nuts. So that was the moment of the night, was when Hogan turned back at the face, and you just can't help it. Sometimes, you know, Hulk Hogan gets a bad rap for anything, but that man, when he goes out there and he tears that shirt off, and he gets involved in a match like that. It was his last match since, I think that was the last match that he had since anything. You know, that was a pretty cool moment, I have to say. We were all popping up to that one. You know, the arena, which was interesting, you know, you think that when you have Sting versus Hulk Hogan and half of the arena is missing, you know, that's pretty amazing to me. Not to mention that a lot of tickets that may have been given away. You know, that really sucks, and that shows the marketing of TNA at the time or even now. How can they not sell that building out with Sting versus Hulk Hogan? You know, you think that you would, but they didn't do it. And it was kind of sad to watch where the other half of the arena was blocked off. You know, I would have thought they would have filled that up. I was pretty surprised. And then Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle, I was looking at the clock, and I saw – how it was like 10:32. I'll never forget the time because that match had to be cut really short. They didn't even do any promos. They went right into the. I don't even think they did the announcement of the title belt. I actually remember that the belt was not even. Jerry Borash did not go in the ring and announce the championship. They went right into the match, and clearly at the end, you know, Bobby Roode losing that match. The fans were just so pissed. I remember leaving that arena and how angry the fans were. They felt like they were cheated out of that after all that build-up and the Bound for Glory series, and for him not to win that was just an overall shame. I'm glad eventually he got it. He could have turned heel right in the middle of that match if they really wanted him to. But, yeah, I won the Battle of the Wills because of that, so I was very happy to beat Will Brooks. So that was overall, I was happy Kurt Angle won. But overall, it just put a sour mood on the whole show. But overall, the card, I thought the show overall was really good. I wasn't a fan of the Jerry Lynn RVD match. I thought that match it's too late for those two to go. I thought the Bully Ray and the Mr. Anderson match was really good. I was very into that match. I don't remember a lot of the other matches on the card. I just remember those kind of moments stuck out. But you know, overall, I think it was worth the price of admission. But I think that if you bought the pay-per-view expecting Bobby Roode to win and lost, you would have probably been pretty pissed.
Yeah, man, I was thinking about going to that.
Aries.
Go ahead, Toph.
I thought that show made Aries.
I mean, I do remember Aries in that match. I think he won. I forget who he faced.
Brian Kendrick.
Yes, Brian, yes, he won the X Division title, yes.
No, he was already the champion.
Yeah, he beat. I think that was when Brian Kendrick just won the title from Abyss.
And I think Austin Aries won the belt from that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there was a crazy spot. I'm not sure if you remember. It was where Brian Kendrick, the whole match, like, Brian was trying to hit the sliced bread on Aries, and Aries kept countering. Then, like, at the very end, Aries was going, like, for a moonsault or something, but Kendrick caught him, and he hit, like, a sliced bread from the top rope, and Aries just sold it so well. Like, not even Ziggler could sell it that good. He, like, did a flip out of the sliced bread. Like, you know, you did how Spike Dudley used to do it? When he hit the mat, Aries did, like, a double flip. He sold it so well, and you thought it was over, and then he managed to get his foot on the rope. It was like a great false finish, and he hit like the stiffest kick on Kendrick, which led to the brainbuster, and it was just a huge, huge pop. I thought that really showed the growth of Aries. I mean, think about that. He was in the opener of Bound for Glory in 2011, and then in 2012 he's in the main event. That's a huge progression right there.
Oh, no question about it. I agree with that 100%. But I just want to take a little bit of a break real quick from our discussion. I want to give everybody an update on our promotion with Bruce Hart and the Hart Brothers Wrestling University. People have been asking me about this. I got asked it last night on Twitter over in the entrance. I've been getting a few emails about it. The contest is still going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's still happening. I'm still getting submissions. I've been in contact with the Bruce Hart camp. I've been talking to them about it, and I've sent them every submission that I've gotten, and I've gotten a bunch of them. And they like a lot of the entrants. They like them, but they're also doing a similar promotion in the UK with another company called, I believe, Ring Warriors, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure which one it is. But they're doing a similar promotion in the UK, and they're kind of stretching out a little bit because they want to announce the winners at around the same time. So when I asked them when we should pick the winner, I basically got a response that said, you know, let's give it a few more weeks. So that's what I'm doing. I'm giving it a few more weeks. So if you think you have what it takes to be a professional wrestler, and it's been your dream, and you want to do it, this could be the opportunity for you. You know, please send your resume in with why you want to be a professional wrestler, some pictures, any kind of information that you want to give us on why you should get a 3-month full-ride scholarship to the Hart Brothers University in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Get trained by one of the best wrestling trainers on the planet, Bruce Hart, and you know, maybe you could win. Send your email with all that information to webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, and make sure you send your athletic history as well, a couple of references. We want to know all that we can know. You can also find that information on prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. Just search it in the search bar at the top of the screen, or click on the picture of Bruce Hart on the right-hand side of your screen at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. So there's our update on that. Let's continue with our TNA talk. We're only doing an hour show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Only doing 1 hour. Feeling a little under the weather. Not feeling 100% just yet. I'm at about 95% for a crazy couple days. So we've got a little over 20 minutes left in the show, according to my countdown clock on Blog Talk Radio, which is always wrong. But according to my cell phone, it looks like we've got, if my stupid iPhone would work, TLD, with your silly Apple products. Looks like we got about 20 minutes left. And let's continue with some of our comments from the fans. I got a tweet just a couple minutes ago from a new listener of the show. His name is Nicholas McGee. He's at Nicholas McGee on Twitter. And he said, our BFG moment, and you can also find him at Heel Turn Podcast. He's got his own wrestling podcast. At Heel Turn Podcast. And I quote, our BFG moment, Samoa Joe face off against Sting for TNA Championship. It was an incredible match, Sting on top. So he completely disagrees with Yuto if he says that's his favorite BFG moment. And, you know, hey, for Sting fans out there, it was a huge moment. And a couple of Sting fans also in the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group page. Here's one from Anthony Misfit Chobot on Facebook. And he states Sting beating Jeff Jarrett was his favorite moment. And here's one as well. And, Toph, this is actually one that you put, man. And it's Senshi, also known as Loki, versus Saban for the X Division title. Tell us a little bit about why you chose that match specifically, Toph.
Oh, it was a good match. Just watch it again. I mean, it's one of those matches that kind of gets lost in a shuffle because it was such a long time ago, but both of them were just really high on the X Division at the time, and I think Cinchy had been champion for a long time. He didn't have the Joe nobody could beat me thing, but he had the title for quite some time, and no one could take it off of him. And they just had a very long, hard-fought match, and they both hit their trademark moves, and they both kept kicking out. It was like one of those, not like a WrestleMania Taker match, but it was one of those matches where they were just kind of using everything. If I could compare it to any match, I could compare it to kind of like CM Punk and John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011, where they just kept throwing everything at each other and you didn't know who was going to win. That was kind of the vibe it felt. It was just a really hard-fought match, and it ended with Saban winning.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Low Ki, I don't know if you guys heard, but he just retired out of the blue from professional wrestling. And, Will, you might get a kick out of this if you haven't heard the story yet. I saw it on Facebook over the weekend or yesterday or something. Apparently he got injured in Japan, and he had a contract with All Japan Pro Wrestling. And for some reason, the contractual obligation was that they would field any medical care, any medical bills that he had from the show, and they didn't. They did not give him the medical care that they promised after he was injured on one of their shows. So Low Ki, or Senshi, as he was known for a little bit in TNA, or in WWE, he was known as Kaval, has retired from pro wrestling. That kind of sucks because he was one of the all-time greats in TNA, you know?
Well, you know, my whole thing on Kaval is that I never saw Kaval as a top guy, you know, even though, you know, he is a really talented wrestler. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, he just didn't accept the WWE gimmick, and he went back and did the Low Ki, and not to say Low Ki wasn't a good wrestler, but he just wasn't a marketable wrestler. I didn't see him going past where his level was. You know, and that's a shame that a company like that overseas in Japan will not cover his medical expenses when it's promised, and hopefully he gets some kind of retribution for that in a lawyer. I don't know how he's going to do that. But that's the thing about, if you look back at the WWE, at least they cover their medical expenses for everybody, and they're reliable, you know, where these companies overseas sometimes are just a little shady. And it's a shame it's that way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree. He was a great for TNA for sure, and sucks that he's going through that. But I got a couple more moments that we'll discuss, and here's one from Travis James in our Facebook group, and he mentioned this match, which is one that I completely forgot about. It was Tomko and AJ Styles versus Team Pac-Man, which is Pac-Man Jones, and I can't remember who that was. Tope, refresh my memory. What
was
that match?
Remember, that was when TNA brought in Pac-Man Jones, but he couldn't wrestle because of some football thing. They didn't want him like to actually do anything physical.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was, okay. I think I remember that, but I know Adam Pac-Man Jones, obviously, I'm a big football fan. But didn't he have something to do with the Dudley Boys as well in TNA?
I think so. It was very short-lived. That was one of the last things Truth did before he got his walking papers and, you know, sort of went back to WWE. But I believe they did something with the Dudley Boys or Team 3D.
Yeah, I don't remember him too much from TNA, to be honest. I know Ron Killings was one of their first champions and whatever, but for some reason, I just don't remember his run there at all. It completely has escaped my mind. But also on that card, which was 2007, we had the Steiner brothers taking on the Dudleys, Team 3D, 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, that's a match I don't think I ever got a chance to see. But you talk about a dream match in professional wrestling, Toph. What was that match like? Do you remember that one?
I actually don't remember that. I got to rewatch that again. I think I remember the promo. I have a vague memory of Scott doing his usual, you know, math professor promos, talking about how he's hungry, and Rick following him. Then there must have been that show. I got to look at it again, but it sounds like it was a great dream match.
Yeah, it looks like freaking Scott Steiner hit a Frankensteiner on Brother Ray through a table, which you don't really see too often as the Big Papa Pump character. You know, how many times have you really done a Frankensteiner, and then they hit the Steinerizer on a Devon to take the win through a table, of course.
Oh, since he brought that up, I do remember Steiner in 2009. It was, who was it? It was Steiner and Booker against, I think, the British Invasion against It was some fatal four-way match. There was a lot of tag teams involved. It was Booker's last match, but I remember Steiner hitting the Frankensteiner, and that L.A. crowd popped huge because he can still do it, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing because he's so jacked up, man. The guy's huge. Even this day, he's gigantic. So, yeah, very weird, very weird.
And that was the
year
he did
more...
the polo stick.
Yes. Yes, absolutely right. Any more moments or memories from TNA, Will? You got any more moments or memories from TNA?
As far as Bound for Glory, I would say not really. I would like to talk about this year's.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
You know, as far as the main event goes with Bully Ray and AJ, I like the build-up they've been doing with that one. I thought this last Impact was pretty good. It's a very good building for this show, especially with the AJ and Bully Ray. You know, I don't see my odds of me winning that one. I think Bully Ray's going to lose somehow, unless we see a Dixie Carter get involved. I don't know where they're going with it. Apparently Hogan has re-signed, so looks like he's going to be sticking around. So he could have some involvement. I think he's still going to show up somehow, some way, at Bound for Glory, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I think AJ Styles, the way he's been built up, looks like he's going to be the new champion going forward. But I do like this thing at Magnus. See that a big, big moment for Magnus on that one. And then I think, I don't know, what's Bobby Roode doing on the show yet? Do we have an announcement about that yet?
He's
yeah,
fighting
Bobby
Kurt Angle.
Yeah, one-on-one with Kurt Angle.
Oh, that's
going to be
right.
A big match.
Got Kurt Angle. That's right. Okay.
I'm actually, I'm looking forward
maybe,
to this.
Maybe Bobby Roode will win this time.
Yeah, that's the match I'm looking forward to the most because, for one, I think Angle owes Roode for that. Well, it's not his fault, but Angle, he needs to repay Roode for that stuff that happened. But not only that, if you look at how Roode turned heel, it all started because, in story, if you remember in that match in 2011, Angle, when he was a heel, he won. I forgot what he did. I think he put his feet on the ropes or he held the tights or something. That, in story, was basically kind of what made Roode become a heel to begin with. Kurt Angle was the catalyst that started Roode's heel turn, and I've always thought that Angle should repay Roode and have a great match at a big show. But after Roode turned heel, they didn't interact with each other anymore. This is like the first interaction they've had since then. It's crazy because TNA's roster really isn't that big, yet this is the first time they fought each other in like 2 years. So I'm actually looking forward to this match. It's like unfinished business, kind of.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I looked forward to Kurt Angle's return for so long. He's still one of my favorite wrestlers, and I'm glad he's healthy and ready to go after a stint in rehab. You know, if you got to go to rehab, you got to go to rehab. Anybody out there that's got any kind of trouble with alcohol abuse, drug abuse, or anything like that, get your ass to rehab and listen to the people there and follow the routine and regimen. That's the only way sometimes to get better. I know it doesn't work for everyone, but hopefully it worked for Kurt Angle, and I look forward to seeing him back in the ring. I'm not going to be ordering TNA Bound for Glory, but the Greg DeMarco show will host a post show right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Of course they will.
Turns out, Will, that Greg DeMarco is staying for the time being on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio network, but you can call in, Will, if you'd like to be on the show. He has extended the olive branch for you if you'd like to call in and discuss TNA Bound for Glory with them this Sunday night. You
there
can go
only
if you can call
one
in as well.
Pay-per-view host of PWP, and that is me.
Okay, but yeah, it's still on the table. The offer's there, Will. You can call in on the Greg DeMarco show. He's got a big fan following, and you can call in and get your voice heard. Get the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse name out there a little more, and you too, so if you can call in and talk to them about TNA Bound for Glory if you want, man.
Cool.
All right, cool. Okay, so we're going to wrap this show up. We're going to wrap up Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number, what is it, number 56? Man, we're breezing through these. Before you know it, this time next year, we'll be over 100 episodes. And let's wrap it up by our final thoughts on TNA Bound for Glory and what to expect this year. TLD, let's kick it to you. TLD, you there? TLD, final thoughts.
Yeah, man, I'm here. I thought you were talking to Toe first.
Now I'm talking to you, buddy.
Well, I want to congratulate you first on the Rose Brothers becoming the tag team champions and you pretty much dominating the entire PWP All-Stars.
Yeah, do you have the scores? You want to give us an update?
Oh, dude, I don't even have it on me, but all I know is that
let's say this, Jay. The odds of you losing are pretty slim to none. But
yeah, I not only
I will
let me explain to you, bro. I have the United States champion, the World Heavyweight Champion, the Divas Champion, the Tag Team Champions. I am just on fire. Plus, all my guys are working Bound for Glory this coming Sunday. So, yeah, I think I drafted it pretty smart this time around.
Yeah, I would say you did a pretty good job of paying some money to those talents or those writers. I would say, yes, you did a wonderful job at that. I thought Raw was great, but overall, TNA, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to see a little bit of kibosh there at the end, see what's going on with Bully Ray. I don't know where Bully Ray's going to go from here. That's the only problem I find to be an issue. But knowing Bully Ray and how he's been doing, I'm sure the Ace and Eights will be finally disbanded at this point, unless we see some big surprise to kind of get them going again. I see this being the end of it, but overall, that's been a long storyline going. That's been a lot long. It's over a year and a half. And they did a very good job building it up. A weak ending, but a very good job building up, especially when it happened last year. And I thought that this will culminate into what hopefully will be AJ Styles' big moment to get him going.
Yeah, we can only hope, man. We can only hope. It's a situation where AJ Styles needs that win to solidify him once again in that main event picture, because he just hasn't been there for a long time. And if the pop on Impact last week was any indication, then he's on his way, folks. So TLD's call has been dropped. Thanks for joining us, TLD. So final comments, wrap it up tonight, Carlos and Powerhouse Radio.
I think we'll be getting a Magnus heel turn, unfortunately. Prefer him to stay a face, but that's probably what's going to happen. Unpredictable Ultimate X match with five guys. Again, hope they add in Kenny King. No idea who's going to win that match. I'm just going to assume Hardy because, you know, they always go to him. And, great main event match. I could see Bully going over with a swerve because of Dixie. But at the same time, I don't think they'll want to repeat what happened in 2011 where they build up the babyface so much only to say, nope, never mind. So I think in the end, AJ will win. They had a great last man standing match a few years ago. So these two have great chemistry. Overall, I think it'll be a solid card and no complaints. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got to agree with you there. It's a Bound for Glory card when you're looking at it from top to bottom. Like you said earlier, less is more, and it looks very good. I'm looking forward to a lot of the matches, and it should be fantastic. And make sure you listen to the Greg DeMarco show right here Sunday night, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Immediately after Bound for Glory goes off the air, Greg will be going live with the show. So listen in. Call in, talk to him. You can always call in here. Next week, we'll be live once again on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 57. Got nothing lined up right now. We're going to do some work this week, try to get us a guest, an interview, something good, something fun, something great to do. But this has been our best of TNA Bound for Glory show, and I'm feeling a little better. But next week, hopefully, I'm 100%. And for TLD, for Toast, this is Jersey Strong Jay Leto signing off. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode 56 is in the books. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep it real, everybody.